One of the things those called to ministry do is an exercise called the River of Life. In it, we are asked, if you were able to compare your life with a river, what would the river look like? The exploration became even more meaningful to me and intensely personal as the following four additional questions were presented. When and where are the smooth, flowing waters? Those times when events and relationships seem generally positive or there is a sense of ease about life? When does the river take a sudden turn? And what caused the turn or change from smooth waters to rough, tumbling rapids or to an exciting rush of water? Are there rocks or boulders falling into your river, unexpectedly landing there, changing its direction forever? Are there points at which it flows powerfully and purposefully, or seems to slow to a trickle? At one retreat, we were asked to present drawings of our rivers. I was surprised as the youngest among us held up sketches that seemed very short, whereas mine had 2 pages of tributaries. Then again, I'm sure our angels were amused by the fact that, on the scale of eternity, I somehow thought my life was long. The tributaries for my river featured the occasional puddle that I associated with being housebroken. There were also refreshing springs that I remember as sweet-tasting. But by far, the thing I remember most is people from all walks of life talking to me. These were the babbling brooks, and I wasn't listening. Well, every once in a while a message might seep in. I distinctly remember the phrase, "You're not listening," as spoken by my parents, my teachers, and many others in authority over me. As I reflect upon these earliest impressions, I realize I wasn't really goal-oriented, but in light of how God has ordered my steps, I'm hesitant to characterize my life as one of aimless wandering. When I decided I really wanted something, I was willing to work hard to get it. When I found a radio station that I really, really liked, I developed the strategy, mapped the tactics, secured the licensing necessary to have them give me a job. In between high school and my all-too-brief college career, I literally rocked around the clock with afternoon shows, an all-night show, and another one on Saturday morning. I was high on sleep deprivation and little white pills. Then it all came crashing down as my high school sweetheart dumped me. My immediate response was to go into the station's record library and pull every love song I had ever heard. Friends and other listeners described the 6-hour show as a rock opera. For me, one song in particular stood out. It was by Simon and Garfunkel and included the chorus, "I've just been faking it, not really making it." I was finally listening. What ensued was a 2-year program of soil conditioning wherein God prepared my heart for the seed that would finally take hold in 1972. The surreal would soon give way to an enthusiastic embrace of total reality. God used it in my life, and I can clearly see just how the river of that young life took a sudden turn. One night, as the Who song Baba O'Reilly was playing and the chorus "Teenage Wasteland" was ringing in my ears, I thought, how fitting, as the music stopped abruptly and the singer screamed, "They're all wasted." I remember thinking, I don't want to be wasted. This was the actual tipping point, or as I think of it, my Deuteronomy moment wherein God said, "I set before you life and death. Therefore, choose life." There was another song. It was not a chart topper, but even so, it would seem to be playing in the places I would frequent. The chorus of this particular moody blues composition included the line, "When all the stars are falling down into the sea and on the ground, and angry voices carry on the wind, a beam of light will fill your head, and you'll remember what's been said by all the good men this world's ever known." Somehow, whenever I heard "the good men," I would think of Jesus. I didn't know anything about him, and I developed an insatiable appetite for reading about him, listening to songs about him, and having him orchestrate my thoughts. My rebirth in 1972 was brought about through a long labor. I knew from the get-go that my life would forever be about sharing the gospel of Jesus. I was grateful for my lowly origin, as well as my capacity for experience. I became a counselor of sorts to those who were struggling with the modern pleasure mania. I shared my experience describing how Jesus encouraged me to make healthier substitutions. Instead of reaching for a cigarette, I reached for the guitar. I gravitated towards music that was meaningful to those with ears to hear, including the new me. I traded a life with no discernible goal orientation to one with a career that was informed and inspired by the concept of service throughout eternity. I envisioned a career that is lived under the continuing influence of the same person that rescued me from the depths of despair. Under the direct tutelage of the Spirit of Truth, we will each learn to master the essentials of the eternal career. For there is no higher reality than that which is lived in the presence of God.